الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith, or of Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, any kind of pencil, paper, pen, any way of taking notes. And I want to also to remind those people who are my weekly listeners, or weekly attending the class, or weekly students, welcome back to class. And those people who are new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Now, today's topic is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about the removal of life support. Many of you have been with me for the last couple years as I've been doing these classes, and so I'm going to take you a little bit advanced beyond the basic of the Islamics, as far as Islamic studies is concerned. And so, and keep in mind, this is an opinion on a subject, but it's not the opinion of the subject regarding removal of life support. And everyone know I'm talking about, particularly during this COVID situation right now, a lot of our relatives and friends may be on life support or ventilators and the like, keeping them alive or keeping their heart pumping and breathing and so forth. And so from this, I'm going to talk to you from this Islamic standpoint. What some of the scholars say, it's not all the scholars, it's like the tip of the iceberg will come through what scholars are saying. And as we know, below the iceberg is a mountain of ice underneath the water. And so the definition of what you call taking a person off of life support, we have is brain dead from the Islamic standpoint and from the medical standpoint. Now, all these may vary from person to person. So I just want to let you know that again, saying the same thing. In the medical field, there is a difference of opinion regarding if the death occurs or the death of the cause due to the brainstem, or the death of a person's brainstem, that means that the person is dead, or other factors. Now, from the Islamic standpoint, many other scholars are in agreement that death is defined as a separation of the soul from the body, meaning separation of the soul from the body is such that the soul remains in no part of the body, and hence is no part of the body contains any life. And so that's the Islamic perspective about it, look on it, and that's a medical look when you're talking about a person being dead, or considering them dead. Also, when a person dies, the eyes follows the soul out of the body, which I'm going to get into that a little later on in my presentation, but I just want you all to keep this thing in mind. Now, being kept alive by a machine, the machine should be removed and treatment stopped, and let the person, let nature take its course. So this is one of the views, is that the machine is keeping the person alive. Take the machine off. If the person keeps breathing, then of course, then alhamdulillah, no problem. Praise be to Allah, no problem. But if the person dies, that's taking this, let nature take its course. That's like what you call a natural way, or allow nature to dictate the outcome. Then, okay, you can do that. From Islamic standpoint, you can do that. Or if the person dies, okay, then it meant for the person to die. Also, y'all remember when I say this a lot, Kuli Nefsun, that equals with mouth. Every soul had taste of death. We don't know when, where, or how we're going to die, but for certainly we're going to die. Again, this is the viewpoint of some of the scholars, and not all of the scholars. I mean, talking about removing a person from life support or the machine. Now, complete stop of the function of the brain, and doctors confirm it, and it is irreversible. Discuss it with family, and machine should be removed. Also, life support is the only thing that is keeping a person alive. It should be removed. The brain's not functioning, the heart not functioning, they're not breathing, and the only thing keeping them alive is the life support. Then, according to some Islamic scholars, the machine should be removed. Now, there is some basic anatomy of the brain. Basic makeup of the brain. When you have one that controls the thinking and the memory. You have one part of the brain, cerebellum, which controls muscles. And then you have the brain stem, which connects the brain to the spinal cord, to the lungs, to the heart, and of course the heart pumps the blood throughout the body. There are three possibilities for a person in intensive care to undergo life support. Three reasons. Now, in the first two reasons, it really doesn't take any investigation regarding the first two reasons. I'm going to give you them first. Then I'm going to tell you the third reason. First, number one, individual begins to breathe on his own and his heart returns beating normally, and his life support is removed as the person no longer is in danger. So at that point, of course, the person is alive. No investigation there. Secondly, the heart no longer beating, nor is there any breathing even under life support. Life support is removed without doubt. The person is dead. So again, the heart is no longer beating, nor is there any breathing under life support. Here, life support is removed without a doubt. This person or individual is dead. Now, I want to get to the other part. I hope I'm not confusing you all. I hope you understand. Just listen to this episode again if you get a little bit confused. Now, let's go to number three. Number three, so the first two is no investigation. Number three, there's some debate between Islamic scholars and also medical doctors. And that is, the person is brain dead, however, his heart still beats and there is breathing while he is under life support. Here, doctors normally conclude death due to brain death and remove the person from life support. Now, as for the cases of number one and number two, there is not any issue or investigation as both, the first one, we're talking about life, or the person is alive. And then the second one, and you all can go back and review this, the person is dead. You're talking about death. And they both these days are uncertain. Certain that the person is alive in the first one, and the person is dead in the second one. The only issue that needs to be investigated and debated about, talked about, is the third case. Namely, there is brain death, but there is a heartbeat and breathing under life support. So this one, you have a little bit of debate there. Now I want to just talk about a little bit about my own experience. And you say, what do you mean by that, Imam? I mean by your own experience. I have mentioned this before, is that I had the COVID virus, and I was in a hospital for about easy 2 months. I was on ventilator. It was long. Every you name it, I was on it. They put me in. As I mentioned before, if you look at the episode, I talked about I had COVID-19. They put me on a ventilator. They put me. They had all kind of tubes in me, and they also gave. I was also in a medical coma. I was. Allah has been having that in that situation at that time. And so, during that time, I asked my wife, and I said this all to you. I said, well, when I came back, I guess, to somewhat normalcy, I asked my wife, well, how come you did not pull the plug on me? And she gave me what I thought to be a correct Islamic answer. She said to me, because your brain was functioning and your heart was beating, I did not remove you from the life support machine. But of course, no function of the brain, and also my heart not beating, and et cetera, et cetera, then she would have been Islamic right that to remove me from the machine, and then my death would have, I would have just died and just be with my Lord. As I said before, that's a choice of my Lord to decide when we're going to die, how we're going to die, and where we're going to die. So I just wanted to remind us of this. I want to mention something to you all regarding when a death angel come. Say, for example, and you can read up on this, we're in our deathbed, and you hear the death gargling in our throat, gurgle in our throat, and the person had their mouth wide open, because I'm a chaplain in a well-known hospital here in America, and so I see people all the time. I see people who are on the verge of dying, and I know it. And Allah knows if the person is going to die or not, but I recognize more than likely this person will be dying. And of course, all the medical person says something to me regarding this person's possible demise. And so the angels come to the person's body. I'm going to talk about what happens to a Muslim, a person who believes in Allah and worships Allah. The angel comes to the person like around their head. And the angel, once a person has died, the angel takes the soul. From the believing person, the Muslim, etc., they would take the soul from the person's body real gently, like with ease. And then they will wrap the person up from a garment from paradise. It smells good. It's not coarse. It just feels good wrapped around the body. And then after that, and they're saying to the body, come out, you beautiful soul. And say all these good things about this body, this soul coming out of the body. Come out, from this body, you beautiful soul. And so, and then other things happen. I won't go into details right now. Other things happen to the individual who died as a Muslim submitting to Allah. Now, and of course I mentioned before, and the eyes follow that individual, follow that individual soul. Then you have, on the other hand, a person who is disbeliever, a person who do not worship Allah and do what Allah tells them to do. And so, and I want to also mention about the first one, that the person who dies as a believer, their soul is removed from the body like water coming from a faucet. That's how easy the soul is coming from the body. Now let's get to the person who is a disbeliever, do not believe in Allah, evil person. The angel come, real dark looking angel, and they come and they snatch the body from the soul. Snatch the soul from the body. I'm sorry, the other way around. Snatch it the soul from the body. The soul kind of holds onto the body because it knows it's been wrong. And it's been doing wrong all of its life, and it don't want to leave the body, but it has to leave the body because it's time for it to leave the body. So the soul try to hold onto the body, and you can almost hear the soul being separated from the body. It's like snaps, like almost. It's like grips, and those grips are breaking at the body, at the soul is taken from the body. Whatever is gripping to the body, it just rips away and rips and rips and rips, and it rips away from the body, the soul from the body. And then that soul is wrapped into a coarse. This first one is wrapped around a nice smelling blanket from paradise. And the second one that I'm talking about right now, there, it's wrapped into a coarse. a hard substance blanket from the hellfire. It hurts when it wrapped around the body, and it stinks. And they wrapped the body around the body of this person who disbelieves. So they wrapped this coarse material, kind of woolen kind of material, around this person's soul. And it's from the hellfire, and it stinks. And then a lot of things happen to the individual. The individual who dies in a disbelieving in Allah. And so we see the difference between the person who dies believing in Allah, the gentleness of it coming out of the body, and it coming out the body like coming out of water draining from a faucet. You get all the wrapping of the clothing or the blanket from the paradise, a nice smelling blanket, and the angel is saying all these nice words about this soul coming from the body. Come out, you nice soul, you beautiful soul coming from the body. And then on the opposite side, those people who disbelieve in Allah and disobey Allah, these individuals, they will have it rough. They will say, come out, you miserable soul, from the body. That soul will try to grip to the body, and it'll be ripped away from the body. And they were wrapped in a coarse material from the hellfire, or blanket from the hellfire, kind of very coarse, and it's smelly, and to be wrapped around them. And just bad things we said about this individual soul because of this state that the soul had died. And in both cases, the individual, the one who believe in Allah, worship Allah, they both, and the one who disbelieves in Allah, does not worship Allah, both cases, the eyes will follow the soul out of the body. So you have to decide for yourself in which manner, in which state you want to die when you leave the body, when your soul leaves the body. It's up to you. We only have one soul to give. We only have one life to live. And so are you going to live your life loving Allah, being peaceful, and being a person as a good person, a person that relies on Allah, a person that worship Allah? Are you going to be on the opposite end? The person, because we all going to have to die. Either you die from a person removing the life support, or you die of other means, you're gonna die for sure. So that is something, don't even say inshallah, just say mashallah. This is the way of Allah, that you are going to die, and either you're going to die in a state of belief, or you're going to die in a state of disbelief. I'm trying to guide my students to the state, and so they'll be able to die, submit to Allah, a belief. I'm trying to do that for you or to you to the best of my ability. It's up to you to accept or reject. Allah asked me on the day of judgment, did I inform you? I said, yes, I did. If they listen to my podcast, they know Allah, what I told them about you and the meeting of you, and each and every one is going to meet Allah. And if you listen to any of my podcasts, well, my episode, I think I talk about some of the minor signs of the day of judgment drawing near. And the day of judgment is drawing nearer and nearer. And one of the signs of the day of judgment drawing near is, of course, the shortness of time. And we see how quickly time flies by. We say times fly by. Are you that old? All the same, because time is flying. The days go by like a minute. And then you have years go by almost like a month. And so all these things, at one time a year took a year. It's just a long time. But now it goes by very quickly. A month go by like a year. And so a month go by like a week. And a week go by like an hour. I mean, it's like that. I'm sorry for me mixing you up a little bit, but everything is condensed. When you're talking about time being condensed, Allah has control of time. And we were asked about what did we do with our time. What we do with our youth, what we do with our health, and what we do with our money, our wealth, and how do we earn our money? He will ask us these questions. He already knows the answer, but he's going to ask those questions and won't be able to lie to Allah, because our hands going to speak for or against us, our lips going to speak for or against us, our tongue going to speak for or against us, ears going to speak for or against us, eyes for or against us, et cetera, our body parts going to reply to Allah when Allah asks a question, what did you do? your body's going to answer for you. You don't have to say anything. You can't lie. You're a liar all your life. You can't lie to Allah, because your body parts are going to tell on you, and your book is going to tell on you, because the angel writing down your good deeds and your bad deeds. Your angel on your right writing down your good deeds, angel on your left writing down your bad deeds. So there's no getting away. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he can certainly see and know what you are doing. Don't think that you out slicking Allah. You can't. You just can't do that. No one else around. You're looking around. No one else around. No one can see you. No one knows what's going on with you. No. Allah knows what's going on with you. Allah sees what you're doing. Allah knows what you're doing. And you're not getting away with anything unless you repent. And I think one of my earlier episodes, I talk about how you repent. And so go back to and review some of my old episodes. And hopefully this episode was not too far over a person's head. We're talking about removal of life support. I try to give you very, very, very basic information about removal of life support from an Islamic standpoint. Now, what you do, because you're not a Muslim, that's your choice between you and your doctor. And so, but from Islamic standpoint, those are some of the scholars. That's what their stance when you're talking about removing the life support of a Muslim. And I also want to remind my beautiful students is that regarding life support, to please consult your local Islamic scholars for guidance. And of course, pray to Allah for help and guidance so that you can get the answers that you want. And the best time to pray, I'm going to advise you for a Muslim to Muslim, is when you put your head on the ground for the last time, when you make what you call sujood, or your head on the last ground bound for the last time, and then you make a supplication to Allah. Or are you getting ready to break your fast? Supplication to Allah. Are you traveling? You make supplication for Allah. These are the times when your supplication, your prayers are greatly answered. When you get ready to break your fast, or you get up in the middle of the night for tahajjah, around 2-3 in the morning, everyone else is asleep, and you make two units of prayer, and then you raise your hand and you ask Allah for what you need, what you want, and what you desire. Allah comes out to the lower heavens, and he says to those around him who's up, who's asking of me, I will give to him or to her. All right, so just lose a little bit of sleep, and so you get on your knees and you pray to Allah, and you ask Allah for what you want, what you need, what you desire. And that you die a good death. It's like when the hadith of saying the Prophet, may peace bless be upon him, because we got a lot of problems going on, we don't say, oh Allah, please kill me, I'm ready to die. We don't say that kind of thing, I'll commit suicide. We can't do that thing. Well, we can make dua to Allah and ask for something like, oh Allah, let me live as long as living is good for me. Oh Allah, let me die if dying is better for me. And so that's the supplication that we can ask regarding death. And there's a lot of others that we can ask for, but that's just a basic one I'm going to just kind of give to you. And so that's what we can do. You can ask Allah for death and from the certain circumstances, but not say, oh, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, Allah, kill me. I'm not going to face the music. I've done something, break my father's car, whatever. I don't want to face him. And so I'm going, please kill me. Please say, or take my soul, or my life, or take his life, so he won't beat me up because I wrecked his car. So, you know, no, we can't do it. We can't even make supplication against our family and our wealth. We does a supplication, we can't make any other kind of supplication or prayer to Allah, but there's a certain prayers we can't pray to Allah, or pray for or against someone in this circumstances that I have mentioned to you all. And so, my beautiful student, hopefully, again, I would not confuse you at all with my presentation or removing of life support. And then I just talked a little bit more about my personal experience, and then a little bit more about what happens to a person when they die, and the angels come and take their soul, or a person who believes in Allah, and a person who is a disbeliever in Allah, obedient to Allah and disobedient to Allah. And so keep in mind that, like I mentioned to you all before, is that three things go with you to the grave site, when put into the grave, and two leave, and one goes in the grave with you. Okay? Your deeds, your family, and your wealth go to the grave with you, or the grave site with you. your family and your wealth walk away from the grave. And but your deeds go with you into your grave. So be very careful of what you do. The good and the bad deeds, they will be put on a scale on the day of judgment, on the mizan, on the day of judgment. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you destined for paradise, particularly those that submit to Allah. But if your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, then you're destined to hellfire. So it's your choice. And you can make the decision now, at least make the niyyah, the intention to make the decision, I'm going to become Muslim, and I'm going to do good deeds. Make the intention at least. Maybe Allah will forgive you. Allah gives people, grant people things that they need based on their intentions. If you intend to go to a place for a woman or for a man, okay, you get whatever it is you intended to do. You went to some place for money, all right, then you get what you intended. You're intended to worship Allah, to be submissive to Allah, may perhaps even become Muslim, and then spend your money on Allah's cause and be a good Muslim, then okay, that's your niyyah, that's your intention, and perhaps Allah reward you just for making the intention. You're not able to carry it out because Allah took your soul. But have you lived out beyond your words, your intention, perhaps you would have done those things you say you intended to do, and Allah may grant you because you intended to do, have you more life, you intended to do thus and so, Allah may bless you just for doing your good intentions. So my beautiful students, I just want to just emphasize to you to please understand from the beginning to the end of my presentation today. It might have been a little hard to understand, hard to follow. It might be simple for many people to follow. But like I said, this is just basic, tip of the iceberg information about removing the life support. Like I said, you all are beyond fundamentals now. You're beyond 101. And you're at another level now. And so that's why I gave you some information. And some of you may be that the information that I gave you. And some of you may have Muslims that are your relatives, but you're not Muslim. And so you have an idea of what's supposed to happen to your Muslim relative. At least you have some idea of what's supposed to happen. But as I said before, I advise Muslim and non-Muslim to please consult the local masjid and ask them, what do I do? Or what I'm getting ready to do, is it correct? I want to do the correct thing for this individual. That's what I want to do. And so after the beautiful thing you can do for the individual where they can't do anything for themselves because they're dead. And that is making sure that they have the correct Islamic burial, and hopefully for themselves that they have the good Islamic death based on Islam. My beautiful students, thank you again for your time. I really, really appreciate your time. If you want to learn more about the Islamic faith and what I have taught you and increase your Islamic knowledge, you go to whyislam.org. You go to Islamic Online University, or now it's called the International Online University. Or you go to American Open University. These are great institution organizations that can help with the increase of Islamic knowledge. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor or your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.